Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
So, I wanted to start by saying, Happy World Mission Sunday, everyone! Woohoo! I'm really happy to be able to speak here today. Many of you will know that I've been about a month and a half now into my new role as World Mission Coordinator. And yeah, I've been really enjoying getting to know some of the mission partners and associates and also the WMS team as well. And it's just exciting to see what God's going to do. So I'm going to start off today by telling you a little story. So I can do this. I've got the power. So I was a few years back now in the summer, I went to be with an organization called Betel. They're a WEC ministry. I was there for a month. And basically what they do is they're reaching out to those who are trying to come out of addiction, who are in homelessness, and they're reaching out with the good news of Jesus. And the idea is that people come into a kind of residential home, and they stay there for a good period of time. They start off by having to kind of go through cold turkey, which is really tough, but the community around support them, and they get involved in a work program, 6-day work program, and then they also learn about Jesus there. And I really saw some amazing things amongst the people. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about one of the girls. So I actually was staying in the residential home myself. I stayed in a room with some of the ladies, even shared a bunk bed with one of them. But the lady I want to talk to you about today is called, I'm going to call her Belinda. And she basically was somebody who had a really tough start to life. When she was 16, she ended up kind of getting into alcoholism, so she became an alcoholic. And a bit later on, she became addicted to heroin and involved in prostitution. So she was in a really tough space. She ended up homeless, and she had a daughter around that time as well. Life for her wasn't going, you know, it was really tough. And then someone was able to persuade her to come to Betel, and she came and she stayed there. And when I got there, I saw this lady and I was chatting to her, and I was like, and then she told me her story. I was like, what? Because I really didn't think that she was this lady, you know, that you know, God, basically, you could see that all the difficult things that she'd been through, they really weren't showing. She was showing herself to be someone who just was completely transformed by Jesus. And it was really amazing to see her. And she was just telling me how now her life is all about God. And it was amazing. Even when I was there at that time, I remember she was starting to become a manager of one of the shops there. So she was being given this amazing responsibility. Just shining for Jesus. So yeah, that's her story. But yeah, I just wanted to share that at the beginning. And I'm going to come back to it a little bit later. So we're actually in a series at the moment called The Story of Jesus in the Gospels. And we're kind of trying to do this because we want to see an overall picture of the story of Jesus throughout the Gospels. Sometimes we pick little bits of it and we don't really get what's happening at each stage. And we're going to look through, we're looking at the moment through Matthew, Mark and Luke to do this. Synoptic Gospels, because they're quite similar to each other, so it seems like a good place to start. And we, 2 weeks ago, Henry talked about the early years of Jesus. Last week, Ryan talked about Jesus' teaching. And this week, I'm going to talk about Jesus' Galilean ministry. Now, early on, Jesus moved to Galilee, and he started this ministry. He started to preach. He started to heal people. He started to drive out demons. And he started to become very popular. People wanted to flock, were flocking to see him. So Oh, I have to mention as well that we don't read it in our passage today. It was some kind of, some of the religious leaders were questioning his authority, but in our passage we don't see that. But mainly at this stage, he's pretty popular. So we're going to read from Mark. We're going to read Mark 14 and 15, and I'm going to skip from down to 21 through to 45. And you can get a Bible if you like, but I'm going to also have it on the screen. I'm going to read it and talk about it as we go. So if anyone wants a Bible, you can put your hand up. But yeah, we're going to read it and talk about it as we go. And as we look at it, we're going to look at what the passage talks about, how it shows, reveals Jesus, and how people responded to him as well. Okay, so after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So we see him going into Galilee at this point, and he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay, so skipping down, so we skip where he actually calls his disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, and here we are now in this next part. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. So we see that in this particular part, we're seeing that through his teaching, people are amazed by him. They see this kind of authority that they haven't seen before. And often teachers of the law at that time, they would kind of use other teachers of the law to back up what they were saying. But he seemed to be speaking as one who was speaking from heaven, really. Like, he wasn't just speaking with something, it was a new message. So he wasn't speaking something that they'd heard before. So they were quite amazed. And then we go on. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Know who you are, the Holy One of God." "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So here we see that something in what Jesus, as Jesus is teaching, this man is kind of reacting, and this demon, he speaks out, and Jesus tells him to be quiet, come out of him, and we hear that, we see that immediately the demon obeyed. So again, he's showing this authority. And we read in the next part that the people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole of Galilee. So again, they're amazed by him. They're excited. They're like, who is this guy? Even these demons are listening to him. Again, he's showing this authority, this power that for them really intrigues them. Oh, yeah. And news about him spread over the whole of Galilee, region of Galilee. So I was having a little think about that. And it sounds like, I'm just going to have a bit of drink because my getting dry. So yeah, I was having a little think about that. And thinking how news spreads quickly these days. And like obviously in this incident, it just says that news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. I just think that's quite fascinating to think about. So I was thinking about, I don't know if you remember, Susan Boyle back in the day. She was on Britain's Got Talent, and she was someone that, when she appeared before the judges, everyone kind of was waiting for her to sing, and then she opened her mouth, and everyone was like amazed at her singing. And they just didn't expect what came out of her mouth. And she became like famous overnight, didn't she? And she's like she continued to be famous. And that kind of helped me to think a little bit about, you know, what it would have been like for like the news to spread, like a little bit like maybe about the news spread about her. So the next part, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. So not only is Jesus casting out demons, he's healing people. I think this reveals something of his love for the people, of God's love. And it also is another sign of the kingdom, a bit like the demons. That part we read at the beginning, where it says, you know, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. We're seeing that that kingdom of God is coming near as he's healing people. And I really love her reaction. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about this. I thought, if I got healed of a fever, I think I'd be quite selfish, actually. I think I'd be very happy, but then I'd probably go and enjoy my freedom. You know, I'm suddenly free, I don't have to lie in bed. But she didn't. She actually, you know, she had such gratitude and love, for him in what he did that she just decided to go and serve them. And that was like an outward expression. I thought that was pretty cool, actually. So then, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. So obviously news about him is getting around, and people are starting to expect that he can heal people and set people free, because they've obviously come and brought all the sick and people who were demon-possessed. Now, a little note, it says that evening after sunset, the people brought the people to Jesus. And the reason why is because actually on that day, it was a Sabbath day, the day before, and it ended after sunset. And a lot of people at that time thought that healings couldn't take place during the Sabbath. So they waited until the evening. I don't know about you, but again, I'm thinking about Jesus. Maybe he was, tired by this time, but obviously the whole crowd's come to him and the whole town gathered at the door. Now, actually, the word for town in Greek is city, and I'm presuming it's talking about the city of Capernaum, which we've read that they're in. The whole city of Capernaum turned up at the door, it sounds like, which I think is pretty impressive. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of crowds. And again, when I was thinking about what it's like, you know, today, these days, you know, what draws the crowds these days? So recently we had the royal wedding. There was a lot of people in our city that gathered to see that. Even around the televisions, everyone was talking about it, weren't they? I remember being at M&S actually working that the evening before and the day when it happened and had a lot of conversations about this wedding. So many people were talking about it. It was kind of the talk of our city and obviously crowds gathered for that. Maybe a singer like Adele, she here in London, O2. There's lots of crowds here gathering to hear her singing. Maybe a football match. People, you know, lots of people have a really supportive team. They'll gather to see their football team play. And of course, here we have Tottenham beating Leicester 5-4 recently. And thought I'd put that in because I am a Tottenham fan. This is another part. Then we've got this one I found quite fun. So on Boxing Day sales, River Island and Brent Cross, these people are here ready to go in to get the sales. And suddenly the shutters are opening and in they burst buy all the bargains. So yeah, these sort of things are drawing the crowds today. And so again, when I thought about the fact that Jesus, that all these people gathering at the door to meet Jesus, I was thinking, how cool would it be if, just like the crowds are gathering in these situations, how cool it would be if healing on the streets on a Saturday, the whole of London decided to turn up and bring all the sick and, you know, ill with them and wanting to hear, you know, receive Jesus' healing touch. That would be pretty cool, right? Just thinking a bit about that. Okay, let's go on. And it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So here we see him healing many, casting out many demons. Actually, the word for many is kind of referring to a lot of people. It's not saying some were healed, some weren't. It's kind of more referring to the vast numbers. So many people were healed. Demons were driven out. So again, we see Jesus acting in this way. He is embodying the kingdom. What he's teaching to people about the kingdom and what he's teaching about the good news, he's also acting out in the deeds that he's doing. So he's kind of showing that through these healings and this setting people free from demons. Okay, so we've come to the end of the passage. And so when we look about this part of the story, Jesus' Galilean ministry, I'll like you to know that at this time the people don't yet know him as Messiah, and they haven't actually repented yet. These people haven't, it seems. Capernaum actually is eventually condemned because they saw so many signs, but they didn't actually follow that through in repentance. So that's a bit of kind of knowledge for you there. But at this stage in the story of Jesus, this early stage, what I wanted to draw out is the fact that Jesus is very popular, that people are amazed by him, they're amazed by the authority that he's showing. They're expectant that he will heal. They're flocking to see him in numbers. So people are coming in crowds to see him. And where are we? So we actually are a different side to them because we do know that Jesus died and rose again. We know that he is Messiah and Lord. He is our Savior. Well, for many people, there are some maybe here who don't believe at the moment, but that's where the Christians are today. However, I'm wondering, have we lost a little bit of wonder and amazement at Jesus? When I think about how the crowds were kind of gathering like that, do we kind of, you know, make every effort to encounter Jesus? Or are we maybe a little bit apathetic at times? Maybe our lives can be sometimes really busy, that we actually leave him to a small little segment. I just was kind of thinking, like, when we think about those sort of responses he was getting at that time, do we remember that? Do we remember his authority, his all the amazing things about him that we're just so amazed, or are we just kind of forgetting that, taking him for granted? So I want to come back to the story that I was talking about at the beginning. Now, Belinda, she really did know what Jesus had done for her. He had healed her, and she had given her life to him. She lived out her life completely for Jesus. She was amazed by him. And there was, I remember one time in the middle of the time I was at Betel, I remember us gathering with the men and the women for worship. And it was just so cool at this point to see these men who were looking quite tough men, and they were stood like this, belting it out, and they were singing, "I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it." Oh, I just thought I'd sing it because kind of trying to picture it. That's how they were, and I was like, wow, you really are abandoned. Like, these people, they were completely standing in awe of him. And I wonder whether we can learn a little bit from them. And now I want to think on World Mission Sunday. Do we want to get Jesus back in the agenda of our city, of our nation, of the world? Do we want people to be amazed by him? They want to gather and hear about him, come to him. Wouldn't it be cool if people gather to see him, hear about him in the same way that they might of the royal wedding or football team or going to Adele's concert, those bargains on Boxing Day? Wouldn't that be great? So, yeah, wouldn't it be great to that our family and friends and our colleagues, our city, and also the world. I was recently talking to a mission associate, Tom Stubbings, who has family that often come to this service, but they're not here today. But yeah, he was telling me about how in Nepal, he's been doing a bit of a mission outreach there. And yeah, people seem really quite open. They've been doing a kind of performance where they'll take, kind of encapsulate something of Jesus within like the kind of context of Nepal, and they'll perform it. And then afterwards they get to talk to people. And they've seen people healed, they've seen people come to faith, they've seen people being set free from demons. So yeah, it's cool to see that. I know that that's happening in many places around the world, and also in our city too. But there are also unreached people groups. And I heard a figure recently that really kind of got to me. It's that 41.6% of the world has been unreached, so they've never heard of Jesus before. That's quite a lot. That's quite a large number. So I guess my question to you is, do we want to see Jesus being made famous in these nations, being talked about, being heard about? So I wanted to, kind of as a response, I want you to think about a couple of things. Firstly, I want us to think about ourselves. You know, how does Jesus look in our lives? Do we live lives that are living in amazement of him, that really truly do encapsulate all he's done for us? Or do we need to maybe repent of some apathy? I also want to challenge, ask you, where's your heart? You know, what would you like to see Jesus do? And maybe it's very local, amongst your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbours. Maybe it's amongst the broken, like people who were at Betel. Maybe it's in our city. Maybe it's in an unreached people group. Maybe it's in somewhere around the world. So where do you want to see Jesus' kingdom come? Where do you want to make Jesus famous?